Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising kids in a culture saturated with media and technology. Hello, everyone. I am Kelly Newcomb. So glad that you have tuned in. I am solo again today. Chelsea is traveling. So without my friend, I decided to tackle the light and easy topic of banning phones in schools. Right? Easy. No problem. And actually, and perhaps this will not be a surprise to anybody, I have a lot to say about this topic. So today we're going to start with an introduction, sort of a part one. And I have two more podcasts coming after this in the next coming weeks, where I will continue to talk about this topic so that we can deconstruct all the arguments that is going against banning phones in schools. There's lots of reasons why people don't want that to happen, but there's a lot of reasons why people do. And so we're going to talk about both of them. And the reason is because this is the most pressing issue that is facing not only schools and students, but also parents, entire families, entire communities. And I think if we're honest, the connection that is between smartphones and social media and mental health and even the illegal activity that can occur through smartphones is so tightly all knit together that having phones in schools overflows into problems that have to be dealt with it and that impacts like police departments, criminal justice systems, the FBI. Think about the healthcare system, emergency rooms for kids who may be suicidal or having a sort of an anxiety attack or psychotic breakdown, mental health facilities, counselors, therapists, psychiatrists, doctors, pharmacists, every single employer that hires young people today, youth ministries. There are so many other institutions, other people that are impacted by the fact that students in the school having their phones and on all of that problems that those bring about. So this is why we all want to talk about this for three podcasts. So I do hope that you tune in for all of them because I want you to be able to know the arguments on both sides, know what both people are saying. So that way, if this topic comes up, and I do hope that it does in your school district, whether that be a public school or a private school, that you can know both sides and you can make the arguments for the banning of phones. When conversations occur, whether it be through maybe a church small group or you're in some sort of community, you're just with girls' night or whatever, and it's mixed people, different opinions, you know exactly what to say and you know how to counter some of these arguments that are out there. Because it's not just about the phones being a distraction for the learning environment itself. It is a distraction for the learning environment, but it's also about the impact that phones have on students, which let me just say, we're going to define students instead of just saying children or teens. We're just going to say students, and it's going to be everybody basically pre-K to 12. And so, and while we're defining really what a student is, let's also remember that anyone who is a student between pre-K and 12, they have a frontal lobe that is not developed. The frontal lobe of the brain is used for decision-making, emotional regulation, impulse regulation, and focus. And it's not developed until age 25 or 26. So this makes all students, every single student that we're going to talk about, cognitively immature. Maybe they don't like to be called that, but they are, whether they like it or not. That is technically the definition. We have to recognize that the brain of a student is not the same brain as a 35-year-old, which is why banning phones in schools for students is much more of a pressing issue than banning phones, for example, at organizations or companies for all of their employees. That's why we're not having that conversation. We're having the conversation because students don't have the same self-control, the same cognitive abilities that adults have. So this has been a topic of discussion for really as long as I've been leading Brave Parenting. So at least 8 years. And I've had conversations with administrators really early in 2016, 2017. And I found a lot of strong support, especially from middle school administrators, for school-wide bans of phones from bell to bell, meaning that no teacher was ever going to ask for that phone to be brought out. And if it was, if a student was caught with that phone, there would be consequences because from bell to bell, it was never to be seen. But sadly, what I witnessed over the course of this 8 years and through really the changing of administrators that are leading some of those middle schools was a reversal of the phone bans. And after COVID, really, it was like all momentum for phone bans seemed to be lost. The remote learning mindset carried over into the new school year, and somehow smartphones were now being asked to be a part of the classroom instruction. Like, okay, get out your smartphone and do this, because they were doing it at home during distant learning. So now here we are, 4 years post-COVID lockdown, and the mental health, the emotional and social instability of students has absolutely hit rock bottom. And school counselors, they're overworked, they're overwhelmed with the amount of mental health issues that are presented to them on a daily basis. And learning just is not occurring, because maybe it's the notifications that are distracting them, or maybe they just can't learn because they're so anxious because of that text message. They can't answer right that second when they felt it vibrate in their pocket, or they're depressed because of what they saw on social media right before the class started, right? All of those things are just so severe that it's crippling them and they are not learning. But in the past year, we have almost come back to a place where we were in 2019, pushing for phone bans in schools. And it isn't just where I'm at in Texas, it's nationwide and worldwide. So let me just run through some recent headlines. Just a few weeks ago, California Governor Gavin Newsom called for a statewide ban on smartphone use in California schools. The New York Times wrote that Mr. Newsom, who has 4 school-age children, said that he would work this summer with state lawmakers to dramatically restrict phone use during the school day in the nation's most populous state. Gavin Newsom's directive came out hours before board members at the Los Angeles Unified School District, which is the country's second largest school district. It has 429,000 students, and they also comprise one of the most ethnically, racially, and linguistically diverse school systems of anyone in America. And they voted, the Los Angeles Unified School District voted to adopt a full-fledged ban on phones during the school day in an effort to improve students' learning and well-being. That's huge news. That just came out a couple weeks ago. Now, I just want to make a little side note, because I think this is important. While I would love to say that banning phones in schools is not political, the fact that we're having legislation being made for it makes it political, right? So it just is. So I think it's really noteworthy that Governor Gavin Newsom, he just happens to be about as far left Democrat as they could possibly be. The fact that he's advocating for children and teens and their best interest, I think is phenomenal. I think it's great, because he's also a very staunch supporter of abortion and gender transition surgeries of minors. So take that for what it's worth. I think that it's important to recognize that the issue of phones in schools, and really, I think I would say phones, social media, and kids in general, minors, is one of the only issues that I've ever seen that has full bipartisan support, meaning both Democrats and Republicans fully support this. There isn't a huge disconnect. So that basically means you're never going to see this as a topic in the presidential debate, because both parties fully support all the measures to protect kids from the harms that come from smartphones and social media. That's huge. Okay, so that's my side note. Now, in Florida, the 8th largest school district in the country, Orange County Public Schools, they enacted a student ban of phones during the entire school day, starting back in 2023, so the school year that just ended. Now, Florida has begun a statewide crackdown on phones use in school. New Florida law requires public schools to prohibit student cell phone use during instructional time. So this is all Florida schools. During instructional time, and block students' access to social media on district Wi-Fi. And it also requires every school to teach students about, quote, how social media manipulates behavior. Now, as a result of Florida's success over the past school year, Indiana public schools will also now face a general ban on phones in classrooms under a law that passed overwhelmingly by the legislature this year. School districts throughout other states have also likewise banned student phone use throughout the day. But it's not just in America. In England, the government has issued new guidance to encourage schools to go phone free. And there is a UK-wide petition that is now calling for smartphones to be banned for all children under the age of 16. That's kind of huge. In Canada, Ontario is cracking down on their phone use in schools. My opinion, not enough, because they are still allowing them during passing periods, but nonetheless, it's a start. They're banning them during instructional time. Alberta, Canada has also issued a complete K through 12 ban on phones in schools. They say there will only be exceptions for students who use phones for health needs, such as monitoring blood sugar levels. Very understandable there. Otherwise, they say that phone devices must be turned off and stored out of sight, and school internet networks will also have limits on the access to social media. More than that, a United Nations report from last July, so July of 2023, concluded by recommending a global ban on phones in schools. That's crazy and amazing. Around the world, they say that almost one in four countries have introduced such bans in laws and policies. Specifically, 13% of countries have laws and 14% have policies that ban mobile phones in schools. So that's the movement that we see. That's just some of the headlines. There's tons more, right? But needless to say, this seems to be the trajectory. And I think it's awesome. Praise the Lord. I really think this is truly what children need. But, right, there's always a but not all parents and students like it. Oh, wow. For real, right? Despite, I would say, the desperately tragic and fragile place students now find themselves in, parents are objecting to the phone ban. Why? Because essentially they can't get a hold of Junior. They can't get a hold of their baby while they're in school. And that's really the only reason, right? So here's a couple more headlines. When a school in Colorado implemented an away for the day policy for the 2022-2023 school year, students could only contact parents using the phones in the office. For some parents, this was too much, and parents began transferring their students out of the school. I'm not sure where they sent them. Maybe a neighboring school. Maybe they homeschooled them. Maybe they found a better alternative. Either way, I mean, everyone does have that prerogative, but that does seem extreme. Wall Street Journal recently published an article titled "Schools Want to Ban Phones, Parents Say No." And they noted the disconnect that seems to plague parents. They seem supportive of cell phone policies and being banned and inside the classroom and even in the hallways. And they want their kids to learn, but they also want to access them at all times. Parents claim that banning phone hinders crucial communications for teenagers with family responsibilities or after school jobs. Some parents object to the prohibitions because they fear losing access to their children in case of a school shooting or another emergency. And we're going to talk about that in part two or part three. So we'll get back to that. But truly, this is a disconnect, because what parents say in interviews with these major news outlets is that they support the no phone rules during class, but they object to their school district's stricter day-long bell-to-bell ban, claiming that their children should be able to contact them directly and freely during their passing periods, or even during their study hall or free periods. And this is a crucial distinction that I mentioned earlier. Lots, if not all schools, so-called phone bans are often just during class instructional time. But that requires, if for the phone ban just be banned during the class instructional time, that requires the teacher to enforce that phone ban in that class when they are the usually often only adult in the room. And with growing class sizes, you have one teacher against 30, maybe 35, maybe even more in some schools, determined teenagers. How can teachers possibly do that their job of teaching when the time required to police smartphones is going to be so much? If you've got 30, 35, maybe more students who all want to be on their phones, they've got the power in numbers. So what I have heard from many teachers, and even students, frankly, is what eventually becomes normal is teachers can't handle it. If they're going to do one thing, they're just going to teach. And if you want to learn, they'll learn. And if you don't, well, then I can't possibly police you and your smartphone all the time. And so it's often not enforced, or it's just ignored. because it's too hard. And what I also have heard a lot from both teachers and students is that they might enforce it, but when it's convenient for the teacher, like if the teacher needs kids to remain quiet after a test, if they finish early, if the test is continuing, they allow students to get their phones out and use them during that time. Or if the teacher just doesn't have any material left to teach and they don't want to do anything, they tell their students to just, that's fine, you can sit on, you can use your phones for the last 20 minutes of class. So that often happens as well. So when we say partial phone bans or like instructional phone bans, that doesn't actually keep kids off their phones. It just means that during the 50-minute class period, they're not supposed to be asked to use the phone. But lots of teachers, again, either can't police it or they allow it out of convenience. This is why a classroom ban is not at all a viable option. Not anymore. This is not going to work. Parents know it. Students know it. Teachers know it. It's really just like good PR is what it is. It just sounds good that the schools have this. It does nothing to actually benefit and support the overall education and well-being of students. So, all right, let's talk about students. Let's talk about what they think about these phone bans. In a New York Times article talking about the Florida phone bans, they stated that students describes the all-day ban as unfair and infantilizing. One student says, quote, "They expect us to take responsibility for our own choices," says Sophia, a 12th grader at a Florida high school, who says she needs her smartphone during free periods to take online college classes. But they are taking away the ability for us to make a choice and learn responsibly. Sophia, I'm so thankful that you were brave enough to speak up and give your statement to the New York Times, because it explains a lot to the rest of the world who is not a 12th grader trying to navigate life solely through a smartphone. Because see, most adults would never attempt to complete online college classes on a smartphone. This is the mindset that they have, is I have to use my smartphone for this because this is all I know. And that's truly how they live. They live like the smartphone is all that they know. And they don't even think of other options like, oh, it would be a lot more efficient to have a bigger screen in front of me. Surely the school would give her access to a computer to take online college classes if she can't use her phone, right? To me, doing that on a computer or a laptop sounds so much more efficient and logical than doing that on a smartphone. So she's a senior, so 18. And she feels like this is restricting of her freedoms. It's restricting her freedoms compared to, let's just say, a seventh grader facing that same ban. I would say, yeah, she is correct in judging that probably feels unfair. But she doesn't have that perspective to see. It provides educational, behavioral, ethical, and moral boundaries for the well-being of all the students in the school, right? It's not just about her and her little world and the freedoms that she feels like she deserves. It's the phone ban protects everybody. And she argues, you know, that she, you know, she's instructed to take responsibility for her own choices and that the ban restricts her from doing that. What she also doesn't see is that it has nothing to do with taking responsibility for personal choices. I mean, well, that is always a great thing. And it's especially you would want an 18-year-old senior to be able to do that. That's not what the phone ban's about. The phone ban equally protects every student from other people's choices. It protects every student from being the victim of other people's choices. That is how much of the harm that comes through this ubiquitous phone use in schools is it's because it harms other people through bullying or shaming or sharing of nudes, competition, comparison, right? All of that stuff that happens in that tight-knit like social environment of a high school or of a middle school, right? It's very impactful and it hurts people. It harms people. Maybe not intentionally, but it just does. And in the adult world, in contrast to say the public school classroom, the public school hallway or cafeteria, you know, all that same stuff may happen. There still may be some adult bullying or shaming, competition, comparison. There may even still be some sharing of nudes. That occurs all in the adult world, right? We know that it does. But it's different because the environment is different, right? And individuals adults out in the world have true freedom to not participate in certain social media platforms because of that stuff that happens, because of the garbage that may happen. But high schoolers will tell you, right, that they feel like they have no other choice. They have to be present on these platforms, right? They're either on these platforms or they're nobody. They're either on these platforms or they're completely excluded from all of life and all of their community. And so they have to be on there, they feel. And so it just changes the complete environment. So the ban protects everybody from that crazy high school environment that everyone says, right? It's like the worst years ever, like middle school and high school, because of that environment. It's just, it's nuanced, it's unique. There's nothing else like it in the adult world. And so that is why that phone ban is important. It's not about every single individual taking responsibility for their choices. If that was the case, there wouldn't be so much problems. It's the fact that everybody's choices impacts everybody else. All right, let me read you another section from this New York Times article. Some students said the ban made interacting with their classmates more authentic. Other students said it seemed more prison-like. To call their parents, they noted, students must now go to the front office and ask permission to use the phone. Again, the horror. Y'all, I know at least some of y'all agree, because this was our life when we were in high school. If you went to high school before smartphones came out, anytime really before like 2007, maybe you had a flip phone. I graduated in 1996, so there were no phones ever at all. No students had them. So we grew up this way. We had to use the phone in the office if we wanted to call someone. And not because that wasn't my experience, but I really don't feel sorry for them, because they have no friction in their communication. And because they have no friction in their communication, it's an anything goes environment. So the slightest bit of friction in their day when it comes to communicating, when it comes to having to make a phone call home, of having to go to the office and make that phone call, that's not bad. Right? That's welcome to life. Life has friction. Not everything is comfortable and convenient all of the time. Friction in communication is good. It makes you think twice about whether it's really worth taking the time to make that phone call or sending that text. Nowadays, text messages have removed all friction, which I don't think is for the best. You know, words fly fast and loose through our fingers. And really, regrettable words are more common than not. I mean, granted, iPhones, you can now edit and unsend text messages. I guess you can call that, you know, a great update to our ability to send regrettable words. But, you know, I talk about in Managing Media, Creating Character, my book, about how typed words, they really are the same as spoken words. Especially as Christians, we have to recognize that what is said over text is the same as if they came out of our mouths. They overflow from the heart. And in the scriptures, James says that the tongue, right, is a fire and a world of evil among parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and sets the whole course of one's life on fire. And it itself, the tongue itself, is set on fire by hell. That's in James 3. And we just can't believe the lie that words of text is different than words of the tongue. We have got to understand that we truly are accountable for every word that comes through our fingers into our phones and is sent out to the world. And our kids need to know that too. And that's where friction is really beneficial. Okay, so that's kind of my sidebar on frictionless communication. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, so I don't feel sorry for them having to go to the office to call mom. But one more thing. Does anybody else think about Napoleon Dynamite when they think about going to the office to make a phone call? I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just me. I cannot help but think of Napoleon asking his brother for chapstick while talking on the school phone in the office. Okay, I digress. I know Ryan might even cut that part out because I think it's funny. I think of it every time that I talk about kids using the office phone. Okay, anyway, let me continue. The article from the New York Times continues to describe the experience of students under these phone bans. They say, quote, now people can't really be like, oh, look at me on Instagram. This is who I am, says Peyton, a 12th grader at a Florida high school. She says, quote, it has helped people be who they are instead of who they are online while they're at school. What a great observation. I think that's amazing. Now, Peyton goes on to say that she finds the ban problematic, although because She would feel safer if she could carry her smartphone in her pocket and be able to text her mother immediately if needed. Y'all, this is the problem. Peyton, a 12th grader at a Florida high school, a 12th grader, she's a senior, so probably 18 years old. She is stating that she would feel safer if she could just contact her mom whenever she needed to. So this is the problem. Either the phone is the crutch to maturity or the mother is the hindrance to maturity. How on earth have generations of children survived until adulthood without being able to be in constant communication with their parents, right? How until 2015, when 97% of students have smartphones, how on earth did we possibly survive, right? This is the coddling of youth. This is why they're anxious. This is why they can't do anything on their own, or at least without their smartphone and their mom in constant communication. Or at least this is what they think, right? They think they cannot do this because the phone bans that have been in place for a year or two now have proven that kids can do it. They can make it through an entire school day. They can communicate face-to-face. They can learn without their phones. And they can go all day without communicating with their moms. And so this is where I really wanted to land this episode today, is just by encouraging you moms to do everything in your power not to text your child during the day. Don't track every movement, every hour of their school day. Please just let them learn. Let them grow and mature outside of your hovering supervision and without your readiness to swoop in and solve every problem for them. Their future maturity truly depends on it. Their education depends on it. And your entire community depends on it. Because the biggest obstacle to getting phones banned in schools for the well-being of students, for their educational benefit, for their mental health, the biggest obstacle is parents, but mainly moms. And if moms block and protest phone bans, the entire community suffers under the weight of the youth mental health problem, of all the illegal use that can go on, whether that be the sending of nudes, sharing of, you know, child pornography is essentially what that is when minors are sharing nudes or buying drugs through social media, of all the things that they can do, right? All the immoral behavior, all the unethical use, that all of that occurs in phones, all of the things that hurt students. When moms protest the phone bans and they object and they block them and they start petitions to stop them, the entire community suffers under the weight of all of the repercussions of having phones in schools. So I love all of our moms so much. I don't know if you're the mom that is texting your kid during the school day and wants that constant communication. I know some moms who even FaceTime their kids during passing period. And I love you, but you've got to back off. I say this with love, but you really have to. It is for the betterment of the entire youth generation, of all students in your community, to back off and bravely just restrict their phones to even yourself, like restrict you from communicating with them. If it's too hard, you don't have the self-control to do it, block yourself from them. Do something, right? Because it was really important. And considering that every single article that I have read, and I've read a bunch, all point to moms and students wanting to be in constant communication. This is a problem. So we need to face this head on. We need to identify, if you are a mom and you can explain to me a reason why this truly outweighs the benefit to the entire school, to the entire student body, to the entire community, why your communication with them really outweighs those benefits, I would love to hear it. I really honestly would love to hear an argument for it. But as it stands right now, this coddling is contributing to, and experts and studies have shown this, is contributing to this anxiety and to this depression, and it's contributing to keeping phones in the schools, in the classrooms, because administrators are afraid of the moms. So take that for what it is. I want you to pray about that. Think about that. It's just July, but I know a lot of schools will start back very beginning of August. So as we go into the last month of summer, really be thinking about how you are going to be communicating with your child who has a phone while they are in school. Okay, so this is what we've done. We've covered the current state of phone bans in schools and the movement. We've identified the hindrances to making this happen nationwide, or at least one of the major hindrances. But I just don't want you to take this information and just digest it yourself. It has to be shared with other parents. Share it with other people in your school district or surrounding school districts. If you don't have a bell-to-bell phone ban in place in your school district, start asking questions. Why not? What will it take to put a bell-to-bell phone ban in place? Set up meetings with administrators and school counselors. Ask them what is holding the school district or even the school itself back from implementing such a ban. You know, has it been brought up to the school board? No. Make plans to go to the very first school board meeting, you know, the next one that's coming up, and ask to speak. I mean, they are going to give you as a citizen, as a parent, opportunity to do that. You know, gather a group of other parents who are like-minded, who agree the schools need phone bans, bell to bell, and help you advocate and pray. Pray, ask God for wisdom. Pray for open doors and opportunities to talk to the right people. Pray for community support. Pray for moms and their incessant need to text with their children. Pray for God to move in students' lives and heal their anxiety and their depression, their competition, comparison, their obsession with their smartphones, right? Pray for God to move through the introduction of phone bans in your schools, in your community, okay? So I'm going to end the episode today. In our next episode, I'm going to talk about other common arguments that are made against banning phones, and we're going to demolish those and give you all the tools that you can also go forward and have those conversations, not only people in your community, but school administrators and everywhere you go, be talking about this because it really is that important. So stay tuned. You won't want to miss the next couple episodes, but thank you so much for tuning in today. My friends, God bless you. And until next week, go and be brave.